All right, let's look in the book of Proverbs. We're going to go to the 14th chapter. We're going to turn the page on a new subject today. And we are actually nearing the end of our study in Proverbs entirely because covering the major themes. So there's only a couple more major themes that I think we should cover, and still kind of undecided on that, but we want to look at one that is a very common theme in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14 and verse number 24. This verse, the reason I want to read it is not because it has a particular truth I want to pull out, although it does, but really I just want to read it because it's kind of a neat verse on this subject. Proverbs 14, verse 24, "The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly." The foolishness of fools is folly. In other words, the three ways that you can say fool in this verse are all said in one part of the verse. So we're going to talk about the major theme of the fool. So let's pray together. Our Lord, thank you for the opportunity to meet together as your people. Thank you for your grace. Lord, it is indeed nothing but your grace that has brought us to this place to make us to have a desire to be in church, have a desire to hear the word, to fellowship with you, to walk with you, to obey you. Lord, we have nothing to glory of. It is all your work in us. And Lord, as we look in your word, we pray that you'd help us not to be fools and not to be foolish, but to be people who respond to wisdom and instruction in the right way. And Lord, help us to learn, help us to grow. And Lord, we also pray for the service afterward, Lord, that you'd bless that and your grace and help would be upon it. And bless Sister Pam and Abby and Miss McLean as they teach downstairs as well, and give them understanding and wisdom as they try to help the kids as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to look at the fool. Of course, I've said this before, but the book of Proverbs has various people, generalized teaching about different people: the wicked, the strange woman, the virtuous woman, the wise man, the fool, and the simple. We covered the simple already, and some of our lesson today will overlap our study on the simple, and I'll remind you of that a little bit. So the fool. So what I want to share with you is, well, first of all, in the book of Proverbs, there are something like over 90 verses that mention the word fool or foolish. That's a lot of verses. We're not going to look at every one of them, but we're going to look at a number of them. So today is going to be a lot of reading verses, because I want to, one of the ways that I prepare these lessons, especially when you're dealing with major subjects, is this might help you if you in your Bible study. I don't know. This is the way I do it. Is, of course, I do a search for a word search for different, in this case, fool or foolish or folly, and I just look at the verses in the order that they appear in the book of Proverbs, and I just read them over and over. I start at the top and I read from chapter 1 to chapter 31. I just read them, and when you do that, what you start to notice is patterns. You start to notice repetition, and you start to notice themes, kind of sub-themes that come out of that, and you can categorize the verses, and that's really all I'm doing. It's not any, you know, not like a doctoral study or anything like that. So that's the patterns that, as we look at these, we'll have to cover a number of verses, because in order to see the patterns, you have to look at the verses together, and so that's what I'm going to look at. First thing I want us to see is this. We've already done a study on the simple. Now, what is, in Proverbs, what is the simple man? What's the best way to define the simple man? Does anybody remember? That's been a while, I know, but what's a simple man? Who wants to guess? What's that? Exactly. It's ignorance. Somebody who lacks knowledge and wisdom due to ignorance. Okay, that's what a simple man. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, somehow we get this idea that if we don't know something, we are not responsible for it, or we should not have to endure any negative effects of lack of wisdom. But that's not true. That, in fact, you find in the book of Proverbs a number of verses that indicate that the simple, I'll quote one, inherit folly. Well, that's a bad effect as a result of being a simple person. And the young man who goes down the way of the house of the strange woman is referred to as a simple man. He's ignorant. He's naive. He doesn't get it. So lack of knowledge, especially when you have the Bible and you have counselors, lack of knowledge is not an excuse. And so we still see that people who are categorized as simple often still eat bitter fruit as a result of being simple. But on our study of the fool, what we'll find is that the fool, which is not the same as the simple, the fool and the simple overlap. And in fact, when you study this, you have in Proverbs, you have the wicked, you have the simple. Let's start. You have the simple, you have the fool, you have the scorner, and you have the wicked. And those four, and there's other ones here and there, but those four are not like little islands and they're detached. They overlap. And the simple overlaps the fool overlaps the scorner overlaps the wicked. And they, when you read verses, you'll see that. You'll see, in fact, you might see it this morning. But in our case, the fool and the simple man overlap in regard to their knowledge. So let's look at a few verses starting in chapter 1 of Proverbs. Proverbs 1, verse number 22. 122. Says this. Actually, 22, and we also look at verse 32 in this chapter. So wisdom cries in verse number 22, she says, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?" See that? The fool is mentioned with the simple, not quite parallel, but very, very similar to kind of a parallel. We talked about that before. You have the simple in this verse, the simple, the scorner, the fool. See that? The simple, the scorner, the fool. But there's overlap in this verse with the knowledge that they have. In all three cases, regardless of the cause, in all three cases, they lack knowledge. All right, look down at verse number 32. "For the turning away of the simple," there's that word, simple, "shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." You see that? Notice simple and fools addressed in the same verse. And notice, this is one of the verses I was telling you about. In both cases, they both get bitter fruit. They both have, their life is wrecked in some way or form because of their lack of knowledge. See, the turning away of the simple shall slay them. Prosperity of fools shall destroy them. In both cases, whether simple or fool, they're destroyed. Look at chapter 8. Chapter 8. You see him again. "O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart." Again, lack of wisdom. Both have lack of wisdom and knowledge. Verse chapter 9, we're right here. Verse number 13, talking about the foolish woman. Chapter 9, verse 13 says this, "A foolish woman is clamorous, she is simple," see, she's both, "and knowing nothing." Knowing nothing. Again, lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. Okay, let's look at a couple more verses on this subject. Go back to chapter 10. We're close to there. Go to chapter 10, verse number 14. "Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction." Now, here, let me show you one feature of Proverbs. One feature of Proverbs is the idea of contrast. One, a statement is made, there's a but, and then a contrary statement is made. And by doing that, you can see how the two are related. Now follow that. It'll help you when you study the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 14. Again, Wise men lay up knowledge. So the idea is a wise man has knowledge, right? It's like a treasure. He has knowledge. But the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Now, it could have said, wise men lay up knowledge, but fools do not lay up knowledge. But the way it's constructed tells us that the contrast in verse number 14 to the first part is the second part, the fact that the foolish do not lay up knowledge. And of course, there's an evil fruit as a result of that. Look at verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. No wisdom. Look at chapter 14, if you would. Verse 7. This is a good rule of thumb. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Now, to our point, notice the fool does not have lips of knowledge. He lacks knowledge. Okay, he doesn't have knowledge. Okay, but on that verse in particular, all right, there's two things we can do. We can prejudge a person based upon what we know of them or hear of them, a rumor, right? We can prejudge them based upon their appearance or what we think their appearance shows about them. You know, one thing, if you've ever been overseas, how many of you have been overseas to a country where English was not the predominant language? Now, here's what you might not have known, is that the moment that you tried to communicate with those people in that culture, they automatically think you're an idiot. It's true. They automatically think you're an idiot. You know why? Because you don't speak their language. Now, you could have a doctorate in American English. I mean, you could have a doctorate in English, right? I mean, you could be William Shakespeare. And the moment you arrive there and try to talk, they think you're an idiot. And the reason they do is because you don't speak their language. I mean, how dumb can you be? You can't even talk, right? That's how, and we do that with other people. You know, that's why when we meet someone who has an accent or who has trouble speaking English, that's why we talk louder, as if something's wrong with their ears. I'm just saying that it's very not good, but it's natural, normal to prejudge people, right? Look at verse 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. So notice that. This is not prejudgment. Give people a chance. Let them talk. You see that? Let them talk. We shouldn't prejudge people. Of course, all of us have those inward biases and stuff, but generally, as much as we can, we ought to let people talk. Let people say their piece, say who they are, what they think, or whatever. And so that's what he's saying. But the moment that we hear garbage, the moment we hear trash, the moment we hear stupidity or foolishness, the Lord says, depart. In other words, that's not a person that we should have a close association with, right? It's not that we eschew them or hate them or anything like that, or gossip about them or anything like that. It's just a matter of close association. That's what he says, depart from it. Depart from it. And if we do that, how is that going to affect our circle of friends and acquaintances? You know, the secondary effect of that is, if we follow this verse, it's going to make so that the people around us are wise people. See, that's the secondary effect of it. All right, let's keep going. Look at verse number 33. The Bible says this, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but, there's that contrast again, that which is in the midst of fools is made known. In other words, no wisdom. No wisdom. Verse number 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, obviously. He has knowledge. He conveys that knowledge to other people. But the heart of the foolish doeth not so. Why do you think the foolish man doesn't disperse knowledge? Because they don't have it. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple. Chapter 17, if you'd look at that, chapter 17, verse number 28. We've already seen that a fool is a man that doesn't have knowledge. Verse 28 says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding, even if he doesn't. Why am I reading all these verses? There's one more. Why am I reading all these verses? I'm trying to do a survey of this truth so that we see it over and over. I'm not trying to bore you. I'm trying to help us to see it repeated. Chapter 24, if you would. Chapter 24. Verse 7. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. Bottom line, he doesn't have it. Now, there are reasons for that, but for our point here, number one, a simple man and a fool overlap as it regards knowledge. Number two, the way that they overlap is both of them do not have knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Okay, so that's what these verses we've looked at establish. Now, let me ask you a question. Based upon what your memory of our study of the simple, what is the cause for a simple man's lack of knowledge? Yes, ma'am. Okay, youth is definitely one. I mentioned that earlier about the young man who has no idea that his walk down to the strange woman's house goes down to death. See, he doesn't know. All right, what are the other causes of being simple or ignorant? Exactly. We talked about that. Lack of experience. We might call that naivete. All right. Any others? Yes, sir. Okay. That's right. That would relate to several. Okay. That's a good one because we did talk about that when we were talking about the simple. Any others? Well, another one is, why is a person simple? That is, why do they lack knowledge? It's because that's how we come into the world. That's our natural state. We don't come into the world pre-filled with knowledge, although that would be nice, but we don't. And that touches on what Brother David said, is that we need the Word of God we have to put it in our mind so that we cease being simple, we become wise, okay? And then there's one more, which is related to the young man, which is the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. You see, when a person is simple, when they lack knowledge, they're driven by base desires. Y'all understand what I mean when I say that? Base desires. Or some of the older writers would describe it as animal desires. In other words, that which is a part of our most basic carnal nature. And so they're driven by that. Of course, not wisdom. They don't have it. They're driven by that. And that perpetuates their lack of knowledge. Okay, but those are all things related to the simple man. That is the reason why the simple man lacks knowledge. The fool, however, has a different cause. All right, let's look at the cause. Well, before we do that, I want to show you a few verses. Look at Psalm 107. I know this is not Proverbs, but look at Psalm 107. I mentioned it, but I feel like I need to cover it just to cover the bases. Psalm 107, verse number 17. It says this, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. That's pretty good. Don't you love this, just simple knowledge? Simple knowledge. There are many times that pain and suffering in our life come as a direct result of what we do, right? And that pain, we cannot, there's no way for us to escape all pain and suffering, not possible. But the pain and suffering that is caused by lack of knowledge or by extension, by sin, is absolutely avoidable, right? And this is where I think some of the prosperity preachers mess it up, because they look at some verses, especially in the Old Testament, that deal with God's blessings and, you know, they don't have diseases and stuff like that. But you got to realize a lot of the verses that deal with that, be it in the Psalms or in the Proverbs or in different different parts of the law, a lot of those verses are just the Lord simply describing the good fruit that comes from being obedient. He's not trying to say, oh, well, you know, you're not going to ever get sick, you're not going to die. No, that's not the case at all. In fact, you see in the Scripture so many people who were faithful to God got sick. The one that comes to my mind is Hezekiah. I mean, he was a king faithful like David. The Bible says he was faithful like David. He got sick. Set your house in order. Thou shalt die, not live, right? Why did he get sick? Did he sin? No. It's because that's the fallen world. But there is a whole category of affliction that we volunteer for that is unnecessary. You know, you think of your marriage. I know a number of people in this room are married. How many afflictions come in your relationship with your husband or your wife as a result of the choices that you make? I mean, it's hard enough when you live with someone who is a different person than you. Obviously, I mean, if I could just clone myself and live with myself, I'd probably hate it pretty bad, actually. But when you live with another person who is not you, who thinks differently, has different values and quirks and ways to do things and all of those things, just that as a natural fact creates conflict and issues and stuff that have to be dealt with. But okay, just put that stuff aside. What about when you mess up, when you actually harm them or speak out of line or you know, you're self-centered or whatever the case might be, you actually do wrong? I mean, how many problems in marriage are caused by that? And it's a lot. I would say the majority. I would say the majority of issues in my marriage, the majority of problems between us have come because we're just sinners and we sin and we mess up and we have to go back and apologize. But those are all choices, right? Those are all things that with wisdom we can avoid. I don't know about you, but I want to avoid affliction as much as I can. I want to avoid it. Do you want to avoid it? Okay, we're not going to avoid it all, but I want to avoid it as much as I can. All right, go back to Proverbs. Let's look at a couple more verses on this same subject. I just don't want to overlap too much. We already read those. Let's look at this one. Go back to chapter 9. We're talking about both the foolish man and the simple man, because they both lack knowledge, but for different reasons. They both lack knowledge. The result is the same. The result is you eat the fruit of not having knowledge. Okay? So look at chapter 9. We already read verse 13. I'll read it again. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple, knowing nothing. All right? So this is why, listen, this is why when you look at the Bible, you got to read the context. Remember, chapters do not determine the context. The words determine the context. So often you got to keep reading beyond the chapter division. Now notice, because in 13, it's just, you might look at this independently and you might miss it, but look at this foolish woman. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple, knowing nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house. All right. 15, to call passengers. 16, here's what she says. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. Verse 17, here's what she says. Stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret. From chapter 1 to chapter 29 are the verses that I have here. Chapter 1, verse 22, the Bible says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? We read this already. And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools, what's it say? Hate knowledge. So does a fool, a biblical fool, does he want knowledge? No. See, the simple person has not come to a decision whether he to receive or reject knowledge. He just doesn't have it. The fool has been given a choice and has refused. That makes him guilty, right? Look at verse 23, same chapter. He says, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you," wisdom speaking. "I will make known my words unto you." So here's the fool. The fool hates knowledge. He doesn't want it. But yet wisdom cries out and says, "Look, I have wisdom. I will give you wisdom. I will give you my wisdom, and it'll keep you out of trouble. It'll save you from affliction." He says, "Turn." Wisdom says, "Turn when I reprove you." And that touches on something else. But verse 24, "Because I," wisdom, "have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded." See that? What is the fool's disposition toward wisdom? It is not simply you don't have it. It's that you actively hate it. That you actively hate it. Look at chapter, verse 29. Verse 28, this is again wisdom. "Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." This is why you often see people who the Bible categorizes as a fool, right? Who is also antagonistic toward the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So the first thing the Lord introduces to people whenever they want wisdom is what? Is the Lord. You can't have wisdom without the person of God. Verse number 30. "They would none of my counsel." They would, what does that mean? They would none of my counsel. What does that word mean? It's want, speaks of desire, right? They would, they did not want. "They wanted none of my counsel. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof." Now notice, I want you to, and this will be the last thing, we'll close. Notice in verse 30, the word reproof is mentioned. You see that? So wisdom came in what form to this fool? In the form of reproof. How many of you like to be reproved? Don't raise your hand, or I'll reprove you. Nobody likes reproof. It hurts our ego. That's not it. Look down at verse, we just read it, verse number 23. Wisdom again crying out to the fool. She says, "Turn you at my," what? Reproof. Ouch. There's a scriptural principle in Proverbs that wisdom often comes in the form of reproof. That is, being told you're wrong. So here's the principle that we're going to see later on over and over and over and over, dozens of times. We'll see this, that to a fool who hates wisdom, and remember, wisdom often arrives in the form and in the car of reproof, wisdom hates to be reproved. That's what we also see, the connection. Let me ask you a question. How do you respond to being corrected? Not saying by your wife, your husband, your parents, your boss, the preacher, but just generally speaking. Because, I mean, we can always find faults and problems with different people, right? Well, that person, well, look at their life. They do this or they do that, or, you know, you can always do that. But listen, a wise man is not looking for an excuse to dodge reproof. A wise man understands that wisdom often comes in a reproof package. And by receiving the reproof, we receive wisdom. So the question is, how do you, generally speaking, respond to reproof and correction? Because really, that is a major that is a major determining factor whether we act wisely or foolishly, because it speaks to our disposition and our attitude toward wisdom. That makes sense? All right, let's pray.